Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you feel like you're being stuck in one place for too long, or that life just seems to kind of be pinching you and keeping you down into one position, or life has got a grip on you? Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Hello, and thanks for joining me. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and I'm going to be talking about sciatica. And as a medical intuitive, those are two metaphors that I always find around people who have sciatica issues. So as a medical intuitive, what I do is I not only look at illness from that conventional perspective, that literal clinical perspective, but I look for those hidden roots that we have, those psychological roots that could be really a lot of the trigger in the memory that's held in the organs and the glands and the muscle structure, and we even hold thoughts in the skeletal structure. And these are two metaphors that I always find when I'm dealing with someone that is dealing with sciatica. There's about 1 million people in America right now that suffer from sciatica, and I'm sure that the number is much more than that. These are just the cases that have actually been gathered as far as the doctor visits and everything. So I know that there's a lot more. I mean, I have a lot of chiropractors who follow my work, and they're always telling me about the sciatica issues they have and the way that the pelvis sacroiliac joint doesn't move and everything. So I know there's a lot more. But basically, the research says about 1 million Americans suffer from sciatica, and there are up to over 300,000 surgeries a year to relieve that pain. And one of the things that I know as a medical intuitive is that we can certainly deal at many, many different levels. We can do this energetically and working with sciatica. We can use any kind of a Reiki or acupuncture. I'm going to be sharing a lot of the different modalities that you could use versus having to use surgery. Some cases you have to because of the damage to the discs themselves, but there are a lot of things that we can do that can help us with sciatica without resorting to that kind of trauma to the body. So when we go in and look at sciatica, we can start at it physically, we can look at it emotionally and psychologically, we can look at energetically. And one of the things that I always share with my radio listeners and then people I do reading with and the programs that I teach is to know that your body is always in a state of healing. It's constantly trying to fix what isn't working. And what we have to do many times is just kind of step back, another metaphor for sciatica, step back, not feel mentally stuck, not feel like we're repeating the same thoughts, not repeating the same patterns, not being able to move forward, another metaphor for sciatica, and to be able to have the freedom of movement. And that freedom of movement basically equates to the muscle structure itself and the way the body is anatomically designed for movement. We are designed to be moving machines. Yes, we're thought machines, but moving machines. And so what we need to do is we need to keep on moving. I say all the time, if you don't move, you won't move. So something for us to think about. So that's what I'm going to be sharing throughout the show, is I'm going to be talking about sciatica, some more of the psychological contributors to it, things that we can do in the last segment to be able to work with sciatica, to be able to relieve the pain associated with it, to feel like we can get a quality of life again and start that moving forward the way that we desire. So it's going to be a show that I hope all of you find very rich with information. I'm also going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you by taking your questions. So if you've got a question for me about your health, but you know, the nice thing about intuition, it can really pretty much go anywhere. I'm not real good about what are you going to be when you grow up. I haven't quite figured out that myself. In fact, I have an 87-year-old mother, and we were laughing the other day, and she looked at me and she said, Carol, do you think I'm ever going to figure out what I'm going to be when I grow up? And I said to her, I really hope you don't, Mom. So anyway, so again, if you have a question for me about your health or something that's going on in your life that I can share my intuitive skills with you, I would love to do that. You can call me at 877-230 3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also for international callers, dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. Sciatica is a common form of lower back pain, and it radiates along the two sciatic nerves. Those two sciatic nerves actually come out of the lumbar plexus in the spine, and it's specifically between L1 and L2. And then below that, we have a lot of peripheral nerves that really animate the muscle activity and the nerve activity down all the way into the legs and to the feet. But those two sciatic nerves coming down the center of the spinal cord basically fork off at that place in the spine. And then we have a sciatic nerve that runs down the right leg and the left leg. And what it does is it runs down through the back of the bottom, the back of the thigh, also the back of the calf, and into the foot. And then once it enters into the foot area at the ankle, it actually breaks off now into two other branches. One branch follows the inside part of the foot all the way out to the big toe, and then the other side runs on the outside of the foot and then to the little toe itself. So in most cases, when sciatica occurs, it's the result of a spinal disc that has been injured, or it could be a slip disc. When I say injured, it could be a herniated disc, it could be a ruptured disc, or it could be that the muscle structure is pulled on these vertebrae to a point where the vertebrae aren't in alignment. And as a result, it kind of takes each vertebrae and it twists it just a little bit. And then it reaches a place in the spine where the muscles of the spine trying to, again, protect that spinal cord starts twisting the other way. So the muscles that are designed to work with the spine itself and keep it upright and straight and the vertebrae in alignment the way that they need to, and as a result, those discs, those little pancake gel-filled spaces in between the disc, then what will occur is that if you get a slip disc, that means that the disc literally didn't slip out of position. It meant that it slipped, turned too far, and as a result, it's causing the spine to become torqued, and it's putting pressure on the disc itself. But again, most of the times that we find with people with sciatica is there's swells, there's tears, those are the ruptures, and then also the herniated aspect of it. And now this is when the spine has become compressed or twisted to the point where those vertebrae literally puncture the gel disc itself, and that gel will start to, or that cushion will start to actually seep out of the disc itself. And in some cases, if it's a first time or a second time injury, when that fluid, that gel starts to seep out of the disc itself, then what will occur is that the body immediately comes in, sends an inflammation response to it. That means that swelling occurs, which is the body's way of ensuring that you're not going to move and re-injure that area. And then what will happen is the immune system will come in, the body will come in, do what it needs to, and it basically starts the process of plugging up that tear to where that that disc and that fluid, that gel, isn't leaking the way it is. Now, for some people, they've had this situation, and then all it takes is just one time, if it's a multiple occurrence, that what'll happen is that the damage to the disc itself, the disc becomes thin and it doesn't take much for it to puncture. And as a result, then the disc itself will actually lose all of its fluid or that gel cushion. And then now what we end up having is we have disc actually on disc. And again, it can happen. I have a very good friend who was moving a file cabinet at work and thought she was doing everything right and literally herniated the disc to the point where over the course of time, all of the fluid was seeped out of it, and then she ended up with actually bone on bone. Now, the reason I share that is the sciatic nerve that comes out in that area where we have these discs, when we don't have the disc there to protect it, now what we have is we have bone on bone, literally compressing the nerve itself. And in the case of sciatica, it could be that compression on the nerve. It could be the tightness of the muscle still trying to protect that area. Or in some cases, what will happen is that the nerve will then, and the pressure on the bone itself will actually come in and create bone spurs. So a lot of times sciatica could also be injury to a couple of discs or one disc, and you have a little bit of bone spur, and all it's going to take is one turn, meaning one movement, one pivot, forward, back, side to side, and then what is going to occur is that little bone spur is going to hit that nerve, and the minute it does, you're going to get that electrical shock, maybe that burning sensation. And then what will occur is your muscles doing exactly what it's supposed to do will clamp down. And when that occurs, then sitting, walking, moving of any in any form is difficult to be able to do. So that's kind of the anatomical look at what sciatica is and some of the physiology around it. But one of the things that I found over the course of working with people with sciatica, whether it's a recent injury or an old injury, whether we've got bone to bone or just a leaking of the disc itself, one of the things that I've found is that the way our lifestyle has changed from the standpoint where so much of our life is requiring us to sit, and what we do when prolonged sitting is the muscles themselves naturally fix themselves in that position. And then you have the tight muscles in that lower back, and then the leaning forward if we're working on a computer, or maybe we decide to be a weekend gardener, our muscles aren't loose, we're down on our hands and knees, we move forward, and then we can get that little electrical shock also. So knowing that this is kind of the lifestyle that we have, unless our life is really where we're actively involved in our profession, is it something that's very important for us to be mindful of if we've been sitting for a long period of time, that we don't do anything that's going to aggravate the muscles, or if you do have sciatica, that it's going to do anything to trigger that. So I always say to people, just use the same theory that animals do. You never see a cat or dog immediately jump up from where they've been sitting or whether they've been sleeping without getting up and then doing a good stretch before they start to move. And that's one of the things that all of us should do, even if sciatica isn't a problem. All of us should come in, get in the habit, if we've been sitting, even if it's for a short period of time, get up, stand up, let your muscles and all of your skeletal structure adjust itself the way that it needs to, and then just stretch. And that can be stretching if your calves feel tight, stretching on your heels. If it's in your back, you can put your arms above your head. You can put them out to the side. But what you want to do is stretch. Now, what you can do is that you can actually, from the sitting over the course of time, the spine can readjust itself to try to accommodate that. So one of the things that you can do is, if you do have lower back problems and sciatica, is you can actually lay on the floor with your shoulders flat on the floor, with your head flat. You could use a small little round, maybe like a little chiropractic pillow underneath the head itself. You don't want to elevate the head a lot. And then just bring your knees up, feet flat on the ground, on the floor, knees up, and then just lay there for a very short period of time. And what it does is it naturally drops the glute muscles, the lower back, and it takes that forward curve that we're creating in the spine because of our lifestyles, and it actually starts dropping that back, and then we get that nice curve in the back, and it pulls on the lower lumbar vertebrae of the spine, and then what it does is it just relaxes the muscles to where we don't do any damage. So again, very gentle, very easy things that you can do, but always, always do stretch. And if you're going to go out and walk or run, get on a treadmill, work in the garden, do whatever, you will want to be sure that you're fully stretched before you do that. The symptoms of sciatica are sharp, intense, radiating pain that runs down the buttocks and the back of the thighs. It can also create sudden weakness in the leg and the foot, or it can actually create a loss of control of the bowels or the bladder itself. And part of the bowels and the bladder phenomenon of this is those small little peripheral nerves that are below the sciatic nerve that basically animate, meaning creating movement to that lower pelvic floor. And I know women who have had children and multiple children, that pelvic floor and the muscles in the abdomen, the lower back, and in the pelvic floor itself can become weak, or they can become damaged or hyperextended in the process of having multiple children. So again, very important to be able to keep those muscles really tight so you don't come in and you don't experience any of the bowel or the bladder issues that are associated with it. If you experience any of these symptoms, specifically that sharp, intense, radiating pain that comes down that just causes everything to lock up and you go, ooh, like that, that something is not working properly, then what you'll want to do is you really will want to seek medical attention immediately, and that can be that you can see a doctor, you can see a chiropractor. If it is a reoccurring problem where you find that you're getting this on a regular basis, 1, 2, 3 times a day, then you could also go in and work with an orthopedic surgeon. And what they'll do is they'll take pictures, x-rays or MRIs, and they'll look and be sure that what we can get a better picture about what's going on from the standpoint that we can see, do you have bone on bone? Is there a bone spur and everything? And then it's easier for the doctor or orthopedic surgeon to work with you. I know that many chiropractors now are becoming involved in a lot of advanced work of neuromuscular therapy as well, and being trained on a lot of different healing modalities that are really complementary to their chiropractic care as well. So you can work with a chiropractor if you're inclined to do that. But again, the x-rays, even a chiropractor, if you're having sciatica and it's you're getting this burning pain, a chiropractor, if they don't do x-rays in the office, are going to ask you to go and get an x-ray done. Louise L. Hay, in her wonderful book, You Can Heal Your Life, states that sciatica is a result of being hypercritical and having a fear around money or the future. And I call that the fear of the unknown. So when I'm actually looking at the kind of the aura itself and looking for the hidden meanings behind the sciatica, I first of all, of course, look for energy blockages, but I don't look for energy blockages just where the pain is. I actually go in and I look at the shoulders, I look at the mid back, and then I look at the lower back. And then all of those different parts of the spine tell me a story. Are you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder? Are you feeling responsible to the point where you're having to be accountable? You can't solve a problem, so you're frustrated inside. You're feeling frozen because you can't move forward. And then also I look for the fear of unknown or the worry factor as well. So again, lots of metaphors, but one of the things, again, I do find consistently with lower back and with sciatica is that the person is struggling with time. Too much to do and too little time, too little money and too many dreams that you would like to be able to do, including paying bills. So time and money are two things that I always find the dynamics of working with sciatica itself. That's because they overburden us with task and responsibility. They can cause us to become exhausted and feel burned out, which is when the sciatic nerve becomes inflamed and the person can experience a sciatic episode, whether it's just a simple movement and getting that little electrical shock tweaking, or having something actually injure the vertebrae itself and the cushion, the disc in between. So again, those are the metaphors that I find with sciatica, and I'm going to be coming back after the commercial break when I take that, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about some of the psychological meanings behind sciatica, and then also some of the things that we can do to be able to work with it without necessarily having to have surgery. Some cases that's what we have to do, but in this particular case, there are other things that I've been talking about that we could do. All right, so let me take Peg in California. Hi, Peg. How are you?
Hi, Carol.
Hi,
how are you?
Hey. Very good.
Oh, good. Well, I have a kind of a two-part to my question. I fell about 10 days ago, and I'm still hurting, and I'm just wondering if you could see if I really did some kind of major damage or if I'm just, you know, stiff.
Yeah.
It feels kind of like muscle, but then I also think it might be something to do with some of the internal organs. It feels like the whole abdomen is just not right. So.
Yeah. Well, what you, the first thing is great medical intuitive you are, is that a lot of the abdomen issues that I'm picking up that you were also getting a sense of is that in this fall, you jarred a lot, those muscles in that pelvic girdle area, that lower back area, but also, honey, you pulled muscles up in the mid back. I can pick up pulled muscles around the lower rib of the rib cage itself. So we've actually got some strain, some pull, some hyperextension, and then some compression, excuse me, that happened at that muscular level. So there are some things that you could do there. Again, the body is trying to do what it's designed to do, which is to immobilize you. But what that does is it causes the inflammation to build up. So let me talk first of all about that. What are you doing from an inflammation standpoint?
Well, I take ibuprofen if I really feel like I need to, and I've been icing and heat off and on.
Good.
And that's about it. And that, okay. The icing and heat does seem to help.
It will, because what will occur, the ibuprofen is, what it's doing is it's quelling and stopping the pain messages, those messages that are going to the brain, listen, I'm sore, I hurt. And what the ibuprofen does is it stops the inflammatory reaction from the immune system itself. It sends the message to the part of the body that's been injured that to please stop sending these 911 calls to the brain, because then the brain is continuing talking to the immune system. It's continuing to create inflammation. And my sense is when I go into that pelvic girdle area, that lower area of where I can feel most of the hurt itself, is that we're still getting an inflammatory response. So something that you might try, hon, is that, again, I'm not supposed to prescribe, but just a suggestion, I'll say it that way, is that what you want to do is you might find that it would be worthwhile to take a minimum dose of ibuprofen multiple days in a row, 2-3 days
okay.
in a row.
Yeah,
and
I wasn't sure if I could continue it.
Well, that's, yes, you should.
Okay.
Where you are, you're much better, but I've still got the inflammation that is occurring, and that's why you're still getting the soreness.
Yeah.
And so what you can do is do that. You will want to definitely take your ibuprofen on a full stomach. You want to take it with food. You do not want to take it on an empty stomach. And that has a lot to do with you, and I'm picking up, is that it feels like your tummy gets a little bit sensitive anyway, and we just don't want to aggravate that. And then what you'll want to do is to follow it with a full glass of water, and that will help get it where it needs to go. But what that'll do is that will help the inflammation. You could also, using something that Edgar Cayce does, you could use castor oil packs. Where you get castor oil, put them on flannel, put them on the area that is not, doesn't seem to be healing as quickly. Now, you heard me hesitate, and the reason for that is I started moving from muscle to bone, and I wanted to be sure that if I was sharing the castor oil, that I was going to be doing, offering something that would help both the bruising, the deep bruising in the bone itself, as well as what was occurring from a muscle level. So I would consider that if you want to give yourself another day or two, absolutely. If it isn't where you want to do it, then I would suggest that you look at something like that, minimal dose, but on a consistent basis, and that'll get the brain coming back and saying, oh, well, we're really feeling
okay.
better there. Okay.
So I didn't really put the vertebrae out of alignment, did I, or did I?
Yes, you did. Yeah,
okay.
You did a little bit. I don't have a herniated disc. What I have is I have muscle that's pulling on the vertebrae itself. I can go up to the mid back, that kind of area, the thoracic 5, 6, and 7, or what I call the pivot points. Those have been jarred. As a result, the butt is going opposite directions. One leg is actually shorter than the other. How you fell, hon, you actually bruised the bone itself. And that's why my sense is that you're not getting the relief that you thought you would, because you've got a deep bruise of what's happening. And the spine itself just needs to have the muscles relaxed, maybe an adjustment using an activator. That's one of those little punch machines that a little hand punch, or they have them that chiropractor plug into a wall, that would help you with it. And then as far as the bone itself, what I would do is then I would use castor oil packs on that particular area. I believe that the ibuprofen would also help with the inflammation.
That was the thoracic 5, 6, and 7 area.
Yes,
kind of
yes.
Mid to lower back.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, again, just know that it's going to take at that skeletal level, it's just going to take that a little bit longer to heal. It doesn't have to be a long time. We're not going to put any energy around it being chronic. But what we want to do is to just know that the bones got adjusted.
Right.
And
well,
the bones got bruised.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hit pretty hard.
Yes, you
and
did.
I'm going through some... I'm in the process of making some kind of big changes in my life, and I thought, oh, this is my right around the first and second chakras. And is that anything to I mean, I'm just wondering, am I not being grounded, or am I worried about my survival?
The fear of unknown is pretty big, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, gosh, I say this with love, but honey, you took two big giant leaps of faith on this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's important to do things on a daily basis that'll give you some sense of balance. And, you know, that what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a sense of being off balance. You know, you've got kind of one foot in one world, and one foot is in the physical world trying to deal with the unknown. The other foot is in the spiritual world trying to figure out how you're going to integrate the spiritual into your physical, and what does it look like. And it just throws us off balance.
That's exactly what my next thing was. How can I bring my spirit into my body?
Well, honey, it's always there. It's just
there,
that we need, you know, we get so in our humanness, we get so caught up that we have to work on spirit and physical and be physical being spiritual experience and then turn it around and everything. And then we work too hard. And when we work too hard at it, I mean, the soul's part of the body, the spirit's part of the body. Everything we do is part of the process. Everybody we meet, every situation is part of our process, our learning. All we have to do as humans is just stay balanced. And what does that mean? Sometimes it just means getting out of our head and allowing our heart to talk. Sometimes, if we're driven by our heart, it's listening to our head. But most important, it's about having quiet time, taking a pause, looking around. Are you where you want to be? Is this the direction you want to go? If it isn't, make those little minor adjustments so then you don't have kind of the same sacred agreement I do in the disclaimer that says, if you don't get it, let's just kind of make it very obvious. So, but where you are, you're on the right track, and all this is honestly, this was an accident waiting to happen energetically. You're not being punished. It's just that this has been there for probably the last, first thing your soul said, well, say 10 years, Carol. And then if she doesn't get 10 years, take her to 5. And it says, oh no, why don't you just have her go back 6 months from now? She can remember 6 months.
Yeah. Well, a year ago I fell a year ago and broke my wrist. So I'm thinking, oh my God, every year I'm going to fall. No, I don't.
Oh no. Yeah. What we want to do is, that's why we do the ibuprofen to the brain, and that's why whenever that little thought comes in, we stick our fingers in our ears and we go la 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 la, just like that. Just like that little kid. Oh no, because we don't want this to become a chronic issue. All we want it to be is you to stay in balance, be in your skin, and then just step forward purposefully. And, you know, the leaps of faith can work once in a while, but sometimes we miss the little details. So that's where it is.
Yeah,
listen, sweet, it's been wonderful. But, yes, just give yourself a little bit of time, patience with it, and then it will take care of itself. And then you might want to see a chiropractor as well, hon.
Okay, and for the activator.
Okay, well, a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Boy, thank you, everybody, as far as listeners, for staying on with me to allow me to go that far with a listener. I was saying the last week when I was talking to Cameron, you know, I just love, and by the way, Cameron's my producer. I was just saying to him, I just love the way that spirit works, because here we are talking and listening to somebody else of what's going on. And inside we're going, I'm doing that. I know how this is. So anyway, thank you all for always supporting my work. I'm going to be right back after this commercial break, talk a little bit more about sciatica, what we can do with it, a few more of the hidden meanings behind it, and then I'm going to take more calls. Please stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is sciatica, and as a medical intuitive, I've been talking in the first part of the show about some of the hidden meanings behind it, giving a little bit of an anatomical and physiological perspective of it so you can get a good picture. That's one of the things that I've really found as a medical intuitive. The difficulty that we have many times in being able to heal ourselves is we just really don't have a picture of the dynamics of what's going on. So as a medical intuitive, I try to give you that comprehensive picture, both physically and energetically, and then also psychologically, emotionally, and then also kind of where your soul is in the process as far as trying to heal you. So I think that that's very, very important. So that's what the topic is. And then one of the things that I find as a medical intuitive, a lot of times sciatica is just trying to tell us that we're lacking clarity in the direction we want to go, so we can't step forward with confidence. And another thing I find is deep-seated resentment. And when we hold it there, because that's one of the places that we do, we carry the weight of the world on our shoulder, and we carry the deep-seated resentment because we have to carry the weight of the world on the shoulder, both in the cervical shoulder part and then also in the lower back. So again, metaphors. And if you find yourself exquisiteness of who we are and the way that the soul works, is that the exquisiteness of the human body is that it actually tells us what to say in the metaphors or the phrases. It's like, oh, I've got an aching back, or, you know, boy, so-and-so is a pain in my backside. And so we can actually listen, or I'm stuck. I don't know where to go. I feel like I can't find a direction. I'm feeling like I'm just pinched into a place. So again, listen to what you say, because what you say can tell you a lot of what's going on in your body. So if you actually suffer from sciatica, and for no matter how much work you do, it doesn't seem to relieve itself, then it may be that an epidural, or it may be that surgery is going to be the way that you're going to have to go. However, there are things that you can do to really help the body, and that's daily exercise of walking, swimming, or riding a bike. And what it'll do is they will actually relieve the tension in the muscles themselves, so they're not pulling on the vertebrae itself. You heard, if you were listening to the show, my last listener who took a fall, basically came in and said she was using heat and ice. What you always want to do is start with heat, because that liquefies the fascia in the muscle. It relaxes the muscle, and then that gets rid of a lot of the inflammation, so it can be taken out through the lymph system and through the different processes the body used to remove toxins. And then what you want to do is you want to follow up with ice. And ice on an injured area is the equivalent to about 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. And it sends the message in the ice, because the ice kind of numbs that area, sends the message to the brain, oh, that area is okay. And then the brain doesn't react and respond to the pain messages that are being sent from that area. So if you're going to use an ice pack, what you'd like to do is you'd like to keep it for about 20 minutes, followed, you want a heating pad for about 20 minutes and then an ice pack about 20 minutes. Please be sure to wrap the ice pack so you don't damage your skin at all. But what you want to do is that you will want to do that alternate part. Now, one of the first thing is, if you're actually dealing with sciatica, for the first 48 hours after the attack, you don't want to use heat. You only want to use cold, because the heat actually will prolong the inflammatory reaction. And what that can do is it increases the inflammation and it actually delays the healing that can occur in that area. Soak in an Epsom salt bath for 20 minutes in a hot tub. And then again, only after the first 48 hours if you're dealing with a severe sciatic attack. Use deep breathing and visualization to help relax the muscles. Imagine your muscles relaxing with this deep inhale and then strengthening and healing with the exhale. Think of the muscles when they get tied as a pat of butter or a quarter of butter that is just hard as a rock, and what you want to do is you want to just watch that butter melt and relax, and then you will be able to then stop the inflammation, and then everything will start to relax. Include in your morning get-up ritual a series of gentle stretches to loosen your back muscles and the hamstrings, specifically the hamstring muscles. Also look at yoga, tai chi, qigong, and then also if you to build up your back so you will not have the inclination for sciatica, then I would talk to a physical therapist and then talk to someone about possibly looking into Pilates as well. Yoga is a ritual in the stretching. It doesn't make any difference whether you do a full 30-minute routine or longer, but what you want to do is you want to do some research and you want to do the yoga exercises on a daily morning basis after you stretch real good before you get out of bed. And you want to do that every single day. Not only does it help stretch the muscles, but what it also does is quiets the chatter of the mind. Also, if you're not taking a supplement that has MSM in it, then you might want to consider that. It's a good supplement for treating chronic back pain. However, if you're taking any kind of blood thinning medication such as Coumadin, then what you'll want to do is talk to your doctor before you take MSM, because that also can contribute to blood thinning. There's also a homeopathic remedy called Formula 303. It's available through Shackley. I do not get any compensation for any of the information I'm sharing, but one of the things with the chiropractors that I work, many of them will say this Formula 303, it's a combination of magnesium, very good for the muscles, passion flower, which is very good for inflammation, and then valerian root, which is very good for calming the mind so it isn't fixating on the problem. So it's Formula 303. It is available through Shackley. It's very, very good for being able to be a natural relaxant, working with inflammation and relaxing the muscles. However, one of the things I always say, and I'm going to say it right now, is before you do anything, especially if you're on any prescribed medications, you will want to talk to your doctor before you start taking any supplements or anything that you're going to do, ibuprofen, over-the-counter, Aleve, Advil, Tylenol. You want your doctor to know what's going on, and then also check your medication and be sure that what you're doing to try to help the problem isn't going to compound the problem. If you're working with a naturopath, again, dialogue with the naturopath, and then you'll be able to put together a wonderful healing program that will support your body the way that it needs to. And then one of the things that I cannot sing enough praise of are chiropractors and the work that they do. And again, it's a very evolving field, and being a chiropractor in chiropractic practice isn't what it used to be. It's evolving very beautifully. So back problems, and specifically sciatica, a chiropractor will be able to help you. One of the things you want to look for, a non-force chiropractor, meaning that someone that's very skilled if they do spinal manipulation, but if not, then what you want is you want somebody that very gently works with your body. All right, let's jump in and take a few more calls. Hi, Christine from New York. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Oh, this is, I'm very happy to talk with you. I was just, you know, I just moved to New York, and I felt like I have a calling kind of to come, and now I'm here, and I just feel like, what am I doing here?
I bet you, sweetie, I mean, I love you to death, but I bet you that every listener in here is going, oh, my gosh, I just said that the other day. What's going on? Where am I? All right. Yeah. So, let me go in and first of all, just tell you what I'm picking up. I want you to breathe. I want you to help me breathe with you. But the one thing is, honey, is that your calling is there. You're absolutely accurate. What you're doing is you're just going through a major adjustment. And one of the things that you might want to really put into your daily activities is become really familiar with New York, familiar with what's there, this kind of the social outlets, just kind of the hubs of things. Just get to know the area so you can shorten that anxiety that's associated with a move that normally takes 6 to 9 months, some people even a year. So the more you can become familiar with the area and kind of your patterns that you know, if there's a market or if there's a special store, or if there's a coffee shop or a bookstore or something that you would want to put into your daily schedule, go and find those things. Enjoy the exploration. And if you don't find it, then it's just, okay, there's something else. Let's go find it. But the more you can find things that you, places that you can go to that'll give you what's familiar, the easier it'll be for you to shorten that cycle of adjustment. The other thing is New York is tremendously loud. And I can touch you, and I know that you're very, very empathic. You have a wonderful ability of intuition. And one of the things is that you hear voices. I know that sounds, I don't know if that's a good news or bad news, I'm telling you that.
Yes.
But you're very sensitive to all of that. So you go into New York, and I mean, this isn't a quiet, lazy city, sweetie. And, you know, they have no honking zones, which is really, really great. But the thing is that you've got to allow your intuitive senses to adjust to the area as well as finding the places that you can just, you know, go that can give you a sense of normalcy or a pattern in your life. The other thing is as from an intuitive standpoint, and I just need to say it because it's there, I wouldn't try to do anything right now as far as intuition and moving that forward. You're not stuck, but I can tell you that we had a little hitch in the get-along in the energy that happened 2 days ago, and the energy field itself between this physicalness in this universe, it's kind of like experiencing like maybe a 3.0 earthquake. It's just got a quiver in it. And as a result, you're going to have a difficult time being able to tap into your intuition the way that you did before you moved, from the standpoint that there's just a stabilizing, a kind of an adjustment, an attunement. That's the best word that's going on. So in this, just enjoy where you are. Do some quiet time. Connect with yourself. Listen to your inner guides. You've got a whole council that works with you. Listen to your inner guides. Enjoy the fact that you're there. Savor the fact, sweetie, that you took this leap of faith to do this, and you landed on your feet. My God, I'm going to pull out my gold stars here to give you gold stars. So all of those things. And then just sit tight, and you'll know the energy is starting to, that quiver starting to settle down, and you'll just know when it's ready, when you're ready to take the next step. It feels important that you start seeking out either a bookstore or some kind of media firm or something that can help you get your message out there. You've got a very passionate, strong message inside of you that needs to be shared, and it's a good place to start. It's a great place. New York's a great place. The energy is very conducive.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Carol.
You are welcome. You are welcome. So the last thing is, every day, I want breathing breaks. And I'm here. I'm holding my breath, and I'm thinking, what are you holding your breath for, Carol? Breathe. Oh, okay, I can do that. So breathing breaks. All right, sweetie. Thanks for calling me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's go ahead and let's do Kim from New Jersey. Hi, Kim.
Oh.
Hi, hon. How can I help you?
Well, I wanted to talk to you when you were on John Holland's show, but the call, they took it, but I didn't get a chance to talk to you,
Well, see, I just knew out of all my callers on my list, you were the one I needed to talk to.
Okay, well, first of all, I need to talk to you about several issues about myself. But the reason for my call is this lady I know, she's like a relative to my friend. Mm-hmm. She's 79 years old, and she's been having this pain in her right leg mm-hmm. since December. She's been going to, like, chiropractic. She's taking painkillers. I told her maybe it's like some kind of arthritis or something.
Mm-hmm.
Today she's going for an MRI. Yesterday she went for, like, another test. And, I was telling about, like, a lot of this energy healer. But then I remember, I says, let me call, Carol, because I remember, your medical intuitive. You know anything about her leg?
Yes, actually, now I'm having to use you as what I call a surrogate. So I can only go so far.
Okay.
And that's, she's a very open person. One of the things when we get in pain, woo, we're really open. But
she's
I do
Italian,
have to kind
of. She's an Italian woman.
Exactly. So I have to go through you.
Okay.
So one of the things is, yes, there is some arthritis. It feels like an osteoarthritis. There's also osteoporosis. Uh-huh. So my sense is the pain that she's having in the right leg itself is tied to the pelvic joint. It's tied that ball and joint. It's tied to the femur. I'm not getting a lot of cartilage in that area. I've got some sloppiness in the bone itself. Where I've got that big femur coming into that ball socket in the pelvic area itself. I've also got some some osteoporosis in the sacrum part, the tailbone part that I'm picking up. There's compression from that osteoarthritis that has been associated with it. So my sense is that one of the things that would be very helpful, and this is a lot of my listeners are going to think, my gosh, Carol, you're not going alternative. But in her particular case, there's a couple things that may come up. One is they may want to put her on Cymbalta. They may want to put her on Celebrex. Cymbalta is more of a, medication for the pain. Celebrex more of the arthritis. They may want to do that. And then they may also want to dialogue with her about doing a hip replacement. However, at her age, what I would suggest is that if that is a suggestion by the doctors, is that she does get a couple of other opinions because just the way the body works as we age, it doesn't tend, because of the wear and tear on the immune system, we don't tend to heal if we have some kind of surgery that way. So that's something that she can look at. But it actually is in her hip. It's in the sacrum part of the spine. It's arthritis. So, sweetie, I've got a couple. Yep, go ahead.
Sorry. She says, like, sometimes it hurts her and sometimes it doesn't. Now, why is it only in the one leg?
Well, because the way that the osteoporosis and the breakdown of the bone itself has created the arthritis, and the arthritis can affect one side of the body or both sides of the body. But the thing that's throwing her off, why she gets pain sometimes and not the other, is when she sits too long. And then the other thing is if she doesn't roll around at night when she's sleeping, she puts too much pressure. She's a side sleeper, it feels like, and she puts too much pressure on that area.
Because she says it might be sciatica.
Yeah, well, actually it is. That's what's creating that kind of restless leg that she's dealing with. But again, the sciatica part is due to the other part of it. So what she's doing is very good with getting the MRIs and all the different things, because they'll get a real comprehensive picture of what's going on. So, sweetie, I've got about 4 minutes. If you've got one question for you, I'll do that. And then I do want to get one of my other callers.
Okay. What is, I had, like, migraine headaches for, like, years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, about 4 years ago, I had, like, gallstones,
Yes.
And I must have had a pain in my back. I must have fell, but that seems to be going away a little bit. But where did I get the gallstones from?
The gallstones, let's see, there's a lot of dynamics around those. It can be created, believe it or not, by low thyroid. That's something we don't hear a lot about, a hypothyroidism.
Yeah.
It is also not uncommon for people with Hashimoto's disease to also experience stones, whether it's kidney or gallstones.
Yeah.
So it can be tied to that, because the thyroid is an intimate bed buddy with the parathyroid that's part of the stone buildup. It also is tied to the kidneys. It could very well be high levels of uric acid that can cause stones to form.
Yeah.
It can be being hard on yourself. Now, you just see, I went from that medical dynamics into that metaphor. Being hard on yourself, holding things inside that are kind of becoming hard, they need to come out. Those are the metaphors with it. So it can be uric acid. A lot of times it can have to do with diet. Sometimes it can have to do with medication. So there's a lot of different aspects that can create gallstones. But one of the things that I can tell you is that you're acidic. And so look at your diet.
I cut down a lot on a lot of things, you know.
Yes, you have.
Boiled eggs, cholesterol.
Yeah.
I don't have the stones?
No, no. I need to say that. No, you don't have stones the way you did.
God.
I have one little tiny one. It's not a problem, but I do have one little tiny one. Now, the thing is, high cholesterol can also contribute to the gallstones or kidney stones or the dynamics with calcium
as well. Is that like my migraine headache, I guess?
Yes, it can be. The migraine headaches are from the fact that you get really acidic. So, honey, go to a health food store or a pharmacy, get some litmus tabs, take your pH, and what you'll want to do is every day work on alkalizing your body. Food, lemon juice, baking soda, apple cider vinegar, things. All those things will help you.
That's acid that made that all that?
I'm sorry, say again?
That's because of the acid in my body?
It is. It is.
Because the phosphatase was like 364 when I had the blood test.
Yep. Okay.
That
say
high?
That to me again.
The alkaline phosphatase, when they did the blood test,
right?
It was 364.
Okay.
That's high.
Very.
Yeah, but then, the next year I got the blood test again and it went down okay.
Because that's the changes that you've done.
Jeez.
So just continue, read up about acid alkaline and alkaline.
Yeah. Okay,
all
thanks,
right.
Carol.
You are so welcome.
And I'll tell the lady friend, I'll tell her what I told you, because I told her I was going to call you,
Well, good. Well, thanks very much.
Yeah,
hi,
I'll
Diane.
I'll call you again sometime,
Okay, well, that would be wonderful. I would love that, honey.
Yeah, well,
okay,
thank you. Thank you for your insight, I appreciate that. And good news, okay?
Okay, very good. Thanks for the support.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Hi, Diane from Florida. Sweetie, I've just got a couple minutes, but I just feel like I need to talk to you. How can I help you, hon?
My dermatologist, I have pustular psoriasis, and my dermatologist wants me to take Enbrel. They're via subcutaneous injection.
Right.
And I just feel a little bit concerned. I don't really know if I want to take it or not.
Okay.
And my daughter, Michelle, in Colorado, recommended my calling you. She's spoken to you a number of times and loves you.
Oh.
And, I've listened to you, and I just love to hear you. You have a wonderful way of speaking.
Well, thank you for that. So the first thing is, sweetie, is I do understand what the doctor is suggesting, and I do believe that it will work. But one of the things is that you don't have enough information. And the first thing I would encourage you to do is go back, make a list of the questions you have. WebMD is a very good source. This internet can create a lot of problems. But what you want to do is put together a series of questions, honey, that you have about what this is, what to expect, how long is this going to have to take place? Is this something you're going to have to do the rest of your life? What are the side effects? What is this going to do? Just write down your questions and then talk to the dermatologist and go in and see if you can get the answers. The other thing I would encourage you to do is go see a naturopath. And have a naturopath. Are you working with one?
Yes, holistic. Is that the same thing?
Are you working with a holistic doctor? Is it an MD who is integrative?
He's not an MD. He's a chiropractor.
Okay. I would like you to go see a naturopath and then have them do some hair follicle test. Because I keep picking up with the skin issues, what we have is we have a heavy metal buildup in your body, and that's what's contributing to the skin issues, and a naturopath may be able to help you. But I do understand what the dermatologist is doing, and I do believe that what the dermatologist is recommending is will definitely help you. It's just you don't have enough information to feel safe and to trust it.
Okay.
But I feel like you could also work with a naturopath, and they could do it as well.
Thank you. But my holistic doctor also said I don't get rid of toxins for some reason.
Correct.
My body doesn't get rid of them.
That's correct, and that's what I think a naturopath can help you do, and a lot of the toxins feels to me like it has to do with heavy metals. Diane, thanks very much. I've only got a few seconds, so all of you, thank you for the great day. If you want to rehear this show, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and re-listen to this. Thank you very much for joining me. I'll see you next week on the radio. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to The Carol Ritberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ritberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.